So that water is gone. But that explains why they lived to be 900. When you read Genesis chapter 5, it says Adam lived to be 930. How do you live to be 930? Simple. Just don't die. You'll make it eventually, right? If you can do that. My grandpa made it to 86, and I'm going to beat that or die trying. So, but 930. How? Do you know reptiles like lizards and snakes never stop growing? You're going to stop growing when you're 16 or 18. Vertically. Some go horizontally after that. But reptiles never stop. What would happen to a reptile if he could live to be 900? Ah, that's the dinosaurs. Dinosaurs didn't live millions of years ago. They lived with Adam and Eve. But let me ask you a question. How many people within 5 miles of where we are right now, just draw a 5-mile circle, how many people in that circle are being taught dinosaurs lived millions of years ago? Thousands of them? There's your mission field. Somebody's got to teach them. And you can, not just to teach about dinosaurs, but to use that to make them realize, man, the Bible is true. You better get saved and go to heaven. I wish somebody up here in Pennsylvania had a dinosaur adventure land like we do. When I moved to Pensacola, January of 1989, the neighbor kid said, hey, Brother Hovind, would you like to take the newspaper? I'm a paper boy, I throw the paper. I said, no, sir, I don't have a parakeet. The only thing it's good for, I know of. He said, well, if I have an extra, I'll throw it in the yard once in a while. I said, that'd be great, sir. So he threw a paper in the yard, opened it up, and it said, dinosaur bones found in Montana from 80 million years ago. I said, you know, somebody's got to put a stop to this. So I wrote a letter to the editor. I'd never done that before. Dear editor of the Pensacola News Journal, this article about dinosaurs being 80 million years old is wrong. God made Adam and Eve with dinosaurs. They're part of the normal creation. They went on the ark with Noah, probably babies. Just be sure to get a pink one and a blue one. You know, it'd be smart for Noah to bring babies of everything, wouldn't it? Why would you bring big elephants on the ark? Bring babies. They eat less, they sleep more, they poop less. They're going to live longer after the flood's over to produce more babies, and that's why you're bringing them. He probably brought babies of everything. Takes up a lot less space, okay? Anyway, and then after the flood, people killed most of these dinosaurs. They called them dragons. Then the word dinosaur was made up in 1841. So I wrote my letter to the editor and said, dinosaurs always lived with man. Man has killed off most of them, but there could be a few small ones still alive, like the Congo swamp in Africa, Lake Champlain in Vermont, Loch Ness Monster. There's a lot of places still reporting dinosaurs, small dinosaurs today. Anyway, they published my letter to the editor and started a war in Pensacola. How many have gone to public school? Anybody go to public school? Did they ever have fights in the hallway? Did they ever have fights in the hallway? As soon as a fight starts taking place in the hallway and somebody hollers, fight, fight, what's the next thing that happens? Everybody comes to watch, right? Hey, if you want to start a ministry, start a fight. They'll come watch, okay? So I started a fight in Pensacola over the evolution creation topic. I never dreamed it'd become a full-time ministry. Kind of just happened accidentally. So atheists started writing into the paper and said, Hovind, you're crazy. We know dinosaurs lived millions of years ago. All the scientists believe this, you know, this kind of stuff. So I wrote back, and we kept writing letters back and forth to the newspaper in the letters to the editor section. Finally, some students at the University of West Florida called me and said, Mr. Hovind, our anthropology teacher is reading all your letters in our anthropology class. Would you be willing to come have a debate at the University of West Florida with our anthropology teacher? I said, guys, I've never done a debate in my life except with my wife, and I lose those every time. How many guys know what I'm talking about? You understand? Okay, yeah. I said, sure. So I did my first ever debate early spring 1989 in Pensacola, Florida. About 1,200 people showed up for the debate at the university. I thought, man, this is a hot topic. And so the debate, I slaughtered the poor guy. I thought, they can't all be this stupid. But I've now done 336 debates. They are all that stupid. Okay? But that quickly led to a full-time ministry. People said, would you come share this information at our church? I said, sure. And so I started traveling and speaking on stuff I'd been studying on creation and evolution. I wish somebody up here in the Northeast would do that. You got the greatest population in the United States. I bet within 300 miles of here, how many people are there? Tens of millions. Why don't you develop a ministry? Why don't you go through the door in 24? Say, Lord, you don't have to be a full-time job. We need somebody. Every time a article comes out in the newspaper about dinosaurs or millions of years ago, write a letter to the editor and say, no, that's not right. Just to give people a way to think, man, maybe there's another way to think about this. So anyway, there used to be water above the firmament. I think maybe God's got this whole universe, all the stars, everything, in a little glass ball sitting on his dresser, you know. He comes out and shakes it once in a while. How y'all doing in there? You know. So the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, for this they willingly are ignorant of. Willingly ignorant. That means they're stupid on purpose. Mm-hmm. They're willingly ignorant of three things, and here they are. And most Christians are ignorant of these same three things. I was as a new Christian. They're willingly ignorant that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. Now here it's heavens. See, God just spoke and everything was created. That's infinite power. God didn't lift one finger. He didn't have to put the molecules around, make them work out and try to make it come alive. No, he spoke everything into existence except for man. That's when he took dirt and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. We're special. Okay. The scoffers are willingly ignorant that by the word of God, the heavens, plural, were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Here it is again. How can the earth be out of the water and in the water? He that sits on the circle of the earth, the Bible says. The Bible says God stretched out the heavens. 17 times in the Bible, it says God made the earth first and he stretched out the heavens. People say, well, Hovind, if the earth is only 6,000 years old, how did the light from the stars get here? Well, as a new Christian, I didn't have an answer. I do now. He wrote it 17 times in the Bible. God made the earth, then he made the stars, then he stretched them out into place. So they could be billions of light years away and only be 6,000 years old. He made them and stretched them out where they are now. So what we're seeing is the taillights of the stars as they're being stretched out. It's real simple. They probably are billions of light years away, but that doesn't mean they're billions of years old. If you got a neighbor that lives 10 miles away, does that mean they're 10,000 years old? They just live 10 miles away. That's all. Okay. Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven. So how old is the earth? As a new Christian, I was puzzled by that because I was reading my Bible and I got a different answer than what I was learning in school because I majored in math and science. I ended up teaching math and science 15 years. So our website, drdino.com, has lots of stuff to help you. We got some of our videos out on the table here. And go to our YouTube channel. By the way, they shut down my Kent Hovind official YouTube channel. We had 225,000 subscribers. And they shut us down, never told us why. They don't like the truth being told. So we opened up the next day on Genesis Baptist Church YouTube. So you can get us there if you'd like. Jesus answered and said unto them, Matthew 19, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Now hold on, hold on. Is Jesus here telling us that the creation of Adam and Eve was the beginning? If that was the beginning, let me ask you a question. When did dinosaurs live? See, Christians don't even know the answer to that simple question. But Jesus told us the beginning was when he made Adam and Eve. So he made everything in 6 days. He told us that in the Ten Commandments. Then it's pretty clear. They lived with Adam and Eve. By the way, it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. Gee whiz. I said, well, there's more than two genders. Oh, really? Are there more than two genders of cows? Are there more than two genders of hamsters or dogs or anything? It's only humans get more than two, huh? They're morons, brother. Morons, okay? So, Jesus clearly claimed the creation of Adam and Eve was the beginning. Matthew 19:4. Mark 10:6, similar verse. From the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. That was it. That was the beginning. So Jesus said the beginning of the creation was when he made Adam and Eve. He's the one who did it, made them, so he probably knows when he did it, right? He says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men. Wait. The Bible says man brought death into the world. Evolution says death brought man into the world. Yeah, here's how it works with evolution. One animal evolves a little better than the rest of them. He's got a new trait, something they don't have. Now, if he's got a new improved trait, a cow, for instance, you got a new improved cow. What has to happen to the rest of them in order for this to work? All the rest of them have to die, or else that new improved gene doesn't get spread out through the population. See, that's why I say man brought death into the world, according to the Bible, but according to evolution, death brought man into the world. Most Christians have never thought of that, but that is a powerful difference. Is death the enemy, or is death the hero? In the Bible, the death is the enemy. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. But in evolution theory, your kids in public school are being taught evolution. They're subtly being taught death is the hero. Death is how we get ahead. The inferior species have to die so the superior species can take over. This is Adolf Hitler 101. Adolf Hitler believed in evolution very strongly. Adolf Hitler thought, you know, we need to find out who's the highest race. Because Charles Darwin's book was The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. Who's a favored race, Charlie? Who's a favored race, Adolf? Well, Adolf Hitler and Charlie Darwin work off of a list of which human race is the highest. Now, there's only one race. It's called the human race. Okay? We like to divide them up, black, white, you know. I've never met a black man in my life. I've seen some dark brown ones. I've never met a black one. This is black. I've never met a white man. Never met one. Here, I'll show you. This is white. I am not white. Part of me is a little lighter than other parts. I won't show you my other tan line, but... We get all stuck on this stupid idea of different races. There's only one race. It's called the human race. Now, there's different skin colors, but that's all. But Charlie Darwin and Adolf Hitler said, well, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Norwegians and Germans are the superior race. He had a list of all the races. There's only one, but he divided them up. At the bottom of the list was the Jews. Right above them was the black Africans. If Hitler would have killed all the Jews, he would have gone after all the black people next. He hated them. He thought they were inferior species. We need to wipe them out. This is what comes from this. See, death is the hero if evolution is true. So, question. Are you able to start a ministry to teach? You've got tens of thousands of kids within 5 miles of this church that are being taught evolution, that death is the hero. Who's going to reach them? I'm going as fast as I can go for an old man in Lenox, Alabama. How many hours a week do I work, honey? I'll be 71 this January. I think some of you ought to get busy and do something and quit worrying about the stupid video game and start worrying about what the kids down the street are being taught and go through the door in 24 and start a ministry. I told you, brother, I'm going to come here, stir up trouble, and then leave, and you got to handle it, okay? But some of you, you're going to get to heaven. God's going to call you up in front of him and say, look at the talents I gave you. You grew up in America, greatest country in world history. You could read, you could write, you could walk. How many people are there in the world that can't walk? A lot. You can see. How many blind people are there in the world? A whole bunch. You can hear. How many deaf people are there in the world? A whole bunch. God's going to say, look what I gave you, and look what you did with it. You chased Zelda around for millions of years. That, or computer games. You watched TV. You played sports all the time. Is that what's important to you? When I was going to college, they had said you had to take a PE class to get a credit for college. And I said, okay. So I signed up for golf. I took a class in golf in college. I learned if you spend thousands of dollars on golf clubs, okay, and then you practice for thousands of hours, if you can either put your fingers laced like this or unlaced. There's two different ways to hold the club. You bend your right elbow first. Okay? Bend your right knee, not your left knee. Okay. Hit the club face perpendicular to the ball. You got to practice for thousands of hours. But listen now, if you practice for thousands of hours, someday you will be able to hit a ball into a hole in the dirt. And the angels rejoiced. And then when you're done, you get to take it back out of the hole and try to hit it into another hole in the dirt. I thought, this has got to be the dumbest game in the world. But then if you really stop and think about it, all the sports are stupid. A bunch of grown men in tight pants out there trying to beat each other down and race a little pig-shaped ball down to the other end to cross a line that they drew on the grass. And they fight over that ball like crazy. And they work to carry that little ball over that line in the grass. When they're done, then they do it again the other way. And when they're all done fighting for an hour over that ball, they put the ball back in the box and they all go home. What did they accomplish? One guy said, Brother Hovind, who are you for in the Super Bowl? Who's playing? I don't know. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. What are you spending your life on? I don't know. Okay, I'm going back to Alabama this afternoon. I may never see you again. But I want to stir somebody in this crowd up to say, I'll take on this community. I want to teach creation. I want to teach about God's creation. Because this is a critical difference. Did man bring death into the world or did death bring man into the world? What did you spend last week on? Make a list of what you did last week. Did you do anything for the Lord? Did you pass out any gospel tracts? Did you witness to anybody? Did you write any letters to the editor? Did you make any comments on atheist channels about how they're stupid? What do you spend your life? I don't know. You do, though. Death came by sin. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, since by man came death. Now, see, every time they teach your neighbor kids that dinosaurs died before man got here, they're saying the Bible's lying. The Bible says man brought death into the world. Your textbooks right around here are teaching kids that the Bible is wrong without even saying the word Bible, aren't they? Well, do something about it. I mean, if you were out on the street and your neighbor's house is on fire and people are inside screaming, help, help, do you have to have somebody to come along and tap you on the shoulder? Excuse me, would you go help them out of the house? I mean, are you that stupid? Can't you see something that needs to be done? Go drag them out of the house. Go get the hose. Start squirting water on the fire. Do something. But like Mama has to say, okay, pick up that sock. Now turn around. Now move your feet. Now come over here. Okay, now drop it in the dirty clothes. Now, parents know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah, okay. I think God looks down at some of his children and say, what is wrong with you? Don't you see what needs done? People say, Brother Hovind, did God call you to start this ministry? I never got a phone call or a letter or an email or nothing from heaven. It just needs to be done. I think this is the center of the battlefield. The creation-evolution conflict. Because he said in the last days, the scoffers would be willingly ignorant of the creation. Well, let's get busy and teach people what it was like. Why did they live to be 900? They're also willingly ignorant of the flood. So Jesus said the creation of Adam was the beginning. Okay? The Bible says nothing died till man sinned. It's pretty clear. And the Bible says in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Well, there's no question what it says. The question is, do you believe what it says? Do you really believe he made everything in 6 days? Amen. Well, then when did dinosaurs live? I live in Alabama, the Bible Belt. I ask people that all the time. I say, hey, I give them a gospel track. I have my business card has the gospel on it. I give them one of my business cards. I say, come visit Dinosaur Adventureland. That's not it, but I'll say, come visit Dinosaur Adventureland. I say, you believe God made everything in 6 days? They say, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I say, when did dinosaurs live? And they get this strange look on their face like, millions of years ago? Wait. You just told me God made everything in 6 days. Do you believe that, or do you believe they lived millions of years ago? Because one of them's wrong. One of them's seriously wrong. The Bible says the first man was Adam, and Eve is the mother of all living. So there was no human race before Adam. There's no gap between verse 1 and 2. There's no life on other planets. Somebody asked me, he said, Hovind, do you think there's intelligent life on other planets? I say, well, I taught high school 15 years. There's not much intelligent life on this planet. And there's certainly none anywhere else because Eve's the mother of all living. So the Bible says Adam and Eve, we all came from Adam and Eve. So the question is very simple. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son and called him Seth. Here I was, brand new Christian. I love math and science. So I'm reading this. I said, oh, there's some numbers. Adam's 130. And then it says Adam lived 800 years after he begat Seth. Let me have my chart there, honey. How many kids could you have in 800 years? Adam was 130 when Seth was born. And then he lived 800 years after that. Come on now. How many kids could you? One every 9 months and 20 minutes. They had hundreds of kids. They say, who did Cain marry? We married a sister. Adam married his own rib, you know. It would not be a problem when the human race was genetically pure and clean. There were no deformed chromosomes. Now today it becomes a problem. Okay? If you marry closer than a first, it's illegal in most states to marry closer than a first cousin. Okay? Except for, I think, West Virginia and Arkansas, you can still do that. Which kind of shows, by the way, they've sent us, what, President Clinton? Never mind. So Adam was 130 when Seth was born. Seth was 105 when Enos was born. Enos was 90 when Canaan was born. I'm reading through Genesis 5, and most people think it's kind of a boring chapter, but I like math. I said, man, I'm going to make a graph. Adam is 130 when Seth is born, and he lives 800 years after that. Seth is 105 when his son is born. It gives all the ages right there in Genesis 5. Add them up. If you add, then after the flood, in Genesis 11, it gives you a bunch more numbers of how old they were when their kid was born and grandson, son, etc. It's easy to make a chart. We got these for placemats if you want them when your skeptic friends come for lunch. Have one of these sitting at the table. On the other side, it shows how Grand Canyon probably formed in 1 week. Not millions of years. Grand Canyon's a washed out dam. Got a bunch of stuff. We just got a few left, right? You can get, we got them on the table. My wife will be back there. Or get them on our website, drdino.com. But if you add up all the dates in the Bible, you're going to see from the dates after the flood and the dates before the flood, they're all right there. The Bible teaches the earth is about 6,000 years old. And then there was a flood 4,400 years ago. Huh. Now, Schofield Bible says the creation was 4004 B.C., October 23rd at 2 in the afternoon. I don't think you can get that close from Scripture, okay? I do think Adam was made in the afternoon because it was just before Eve. It's the only clue I found. And I can't prove this, but I think I figured out why God made Adam first. It's because he didn't want any advice on how to do it. I can see it now. No, God, you're doing it wrong. Shut up, Eve. Go stand over there. I know what I'm doing, okay? So, I don't say it was 4004 B.C., okay? Almost all the new Bible versions have changed, even in your newspapers. And listen on the news, when you listen to the news, they say before the common era, BCE. Instead of before Christ, like it used to be, it's now BCE, which means before the common era. They took Christ out completely. Just watch for that. I do debates with atheists all the time, and they'll say, do you accept evolution? I say, well, you're using the wrong word. Do you believe in evolution? You can only accept something that is proven to be true. Amen. Evolution has never been seen. Nobody's ever seen a cow produce a non-cow. Now, you can choose to believe in that, but they're very subtly changing little words, like before the common era instead of before Christ. I just turn it right back around on them. So, no, it's B.C., before Christ. Okay? Let them know. Anyway, so Christ is gone from all of our textbooks. You won't see B.C. hardly anywhere anymore. It's all B.C.E. See, while Christians are busy chasing Zelda around, the atheists are busy infiltrating our schools, like Hamas infiltrating Israel. They're focused on their job. We're going to infiltrate and destroy this country. The atheists are determined. They're going to infiltrate and destroy our schools and destroy our curriculum, gain control of the newspapers, gain control of all the media. They're working hard while we're busy playing with a ball. Would you find something to do for the Lord with your life? Bible dates add up to about 6,000 for the creation. Brother, are we supposed to quit at 10:30?
No, we're good until about 10 minutes before 11.
Okay, good, good, good. So when did dinosaurs live? Here I was, a brand new Christian, reading. I'd learned, my kindergarten book said dinosaurs lived millions of years ago. So I learned that from the time I was a baby. And now that I'm 16, I'm saved, I'm reading my Bible, I said, somebody's lying. How many books are there in your public library and in your public school curriculum that teach dinosaurs lived millions of years ago? You think the kindergartners are being taught that in this town? Are they? You think maybe you got some neighbors that are being taught that right now? Millions of years ago. Students by the millions, actually by the billions, are being taught dinosaurs lived millions of years ago. Somebody up here in this area needs to put a stop to that. Now, salt. Jesus said we're the salt of the earth. Salt does not do any good if it's still in the salt shaker. And salt doesn't do any good if it's in one clump. You have to spread it out. Salt does several things. Salt flavors. Salt preserves. Salt irritates. If you're not irritating anybody, you're not doing it right. You be salty, that will irritate them. You've got kids within 5 miles of where we sit that are reading books all week long about dinosaurs living millions of years ago, and to you it's more important who threw the ball through the hoop or who knocked the ball into the hole in the dirt. Isn't it? Here you could start a ministry. One of the things, I tell you, anybody could do this. How many have ever heard of Chuck E. Cheese? Do you have Chuck E. Cheese up here? One of the biggest money makers Chuck E. Cheese has is birthday parties. They did anyway. For $100 or $200 or some number, you can bring all your kids over there and they will provide the pizza and the drinks and have a place and balloons for a birthday party. Why don't one of you start a business, dinosaur birthday parties? Have kids and families come to your house or someplace, come to the church here. And for $200 or whatever, pick a number, you're going to supply the food, the dinosaurs, the balloons, and you're going to teach them about creation. We had hundreds of dinosaur birthday parties when I was in Pensacola. People would come from all over the place to have a dinosaur birthday party. Parents love it. They got no mess to clean up. All they do is, here's $200, and they're done. We got to buy the pizza and, you know, we had dinosaur cups and dinosaur napkins. Why doesn't somebody up here start a dinosaur birthday party business and advertise in the paper? Come learn about dinosaurs and put the address and the phone number. A birthday party. We started in Pensacola on our backyard. We had a huge oak tree with a great big, two bunch of big limbs sticking out. I said, that's a perfect place for a swing. My kids at the time were, 7, 8, and 9 years old. Year and 2 weeks apart. It's called family planning. And I said, you know, that's a perfect place for a swing. So I tied a wrench on a rope, threw it up to go over the limb. I was going to use that rope to pull a bigger rope up and make a swing. I accidentally hit the limb above it. I said, okay, I guess that's where the swing goes. So I put a big swing there, and the kids came from all over the neighborhood to play on my swing because it was so huge. You know, it was real tall. So you didn't swing very far off the ground. You swing a long ways without getting very high because of the arc of the swing. Then I said, you know, we could build a tower back here. Kid climb up the tower and jump off. Now they can really swing. People said, was that dangerous? A little bit, but there's a lot of kids. You can always make another one. Okay, so you had to pull the swing up to the tower, sit on there and jump off. We called it the leap of faith. And it taught a great lesson. I said, now kids, when you're standing up here looking down, you're going to say, I believe it'll work. Okay, now pick up your feet. You will feel the moment where you switch from believing to trusting when you pick your feet up. There's a difference. See, a lot of people believe in God. They've got him in their head. They don't have him in their heart. They've never trusted him. He's just in their head, that's all. So that little swing taught that simple lesson of difference between believing and trusting. And they had a blast jumping off, swing out there. And we built it right over the certain part of my backyard because I studied the ground carefully. I come from a family of engineers and teachers. And I looked over the yard carefully. I said, right here is perfect because if they do fall, right in here, the ground will stop them. Good choice, wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway. So then that swing, we had so many kids come, and I said, hey, let's build something else. We kept adding on to the attractions, and pretty soon it slowly grew into Dinosaur Adventure Land. It started with a swing in my backyard. And then the birthday party started with the idea, I'm sick and tired of kids being taught this stuff. Let's do something about it. Well, folks, you got the same problem in this county. You got thousands of kids being taught that junk, and nobody's doing anything about it, are they? Well, then you do it. You say, God didn't call me. Okay, anyway. Go do it. Are you dumber than an ant? The ant will see, hey, somebody just stepped on our ant mound. Let's fix it. You got a problem in this county. Go fix it. Okay? Students by the millions are taught dinosaurs lived millions of years ago and they evolved. See, there's only two choices. Somebody made the world or the world made itself. Nobody's thought of a third choice. Either somebody made it or nobody made it. How many kids are being taught nobody made it? It evolved by chance. There's always a few loonies out there with a thing. They'll say, well, we're not really here at all. We just think we're here. Okay. Those folks need one of them long sleeve jackets that ties in the back. Mm-hmm. And put them in a rubber room someplace, right? Okay. So nearly all those who believe the universe made itself, which is the atheist and evolution, that's what's being taught in your schools. They'll say, well, it came from a big bang. Really? I ask them, guys, if the universe began from a big bang, what exploded? And where did it come from? And what did it explode into? Where was space? And when did it explode? Did time start 13.772 billion years ago at the Big Bang? Well, where was everything 13.773 billion years ago? So you have to have time, space, and matter come into existence at the same instant. I was debating three atheists at once at Embry-Riddle University. And one of the atheist smart aleck professors said, Mr. Hovind, where did God come from? I gave a 2-minute long answer, where God came from, that has now, somebody told me it has 900 million views on YouTube. Type in, where did God come from? See what you think. But see, God made time, space, matter, but your kids in school are being taught the Big Bang. Everything fit into a dot. Atheists tell me this all the time. They'll say, oh yeah, everything was in a dot, smaller than a proton. I said, guys, you could not squeeze a cup of water into a dot smaller than a proton, let alone the whole Pacific Ocean. I'll give you $1,000 if you can squeeze a cup of water into a dot smaller than a proton. But they believe it because that's what they were taught. See, when people are taught something for a long time, they start to believe it, especially when you start them as a child. The Muslims are taught, the only sure way to go to heaven, Allah's going to weigh your good against your bad and decide if you go to heaven or not. But if you kill a Christian, you get to go to heaven for sure. What's going to happen to a kid that's taught that all of his life? He's going to be looking for a Christian to kill, isn't he? That's what they're taught. Doesn't mean it's right. It just means that's what they're taught. This Big Bang theory is taught all through our school system. Yes, boys and girls, 13.772 billion years ago, a dot of nothing exploded. And then the earth formed 4.6 billion years ago, and it rained on the rocks for millions of years and turned them into soup, and the soup came alive. And here we are today. This Big Bang Theory is retarded. Most thinking people know it's dumb to worship a dot of nothing that exploded. But that's what they worship. Before life began. Wow. What happened, boys and girls, before life? It says the current universe came into existence 14 billion years ago from an infinitely dense point. Public school textbook. Are the kids being taught this in this town? Isn't there a college near here somewhere? Are they being taught that? Well, go do something about it. One guy in Texas got concerned. He said, Brother Hovind, I love your videos. He said, I can't do what you do, but can I copy your videos? I said, please do. He made 46,000 copies of my videos and passes them out at universities and schools all over the place. That's his ministry. He can't teach like I do. Well, then fine. Then take mine and copy it. Heard about a lady one time. No, it was a young man. He couldn't talk and he couldn't hear. He was deaf. But he loved the Lord. He wanted to witness to people. What do I do? He would go down around Walmart or stores or town and he'd see somebody. He'd go, I'm deaf. Hand him a gospel tract and hug him. That's all he could do. Led hundreds to the Lord. Couldn't talk and couldn't hear. And some of you can talk and hear and you're wasting your time on dumb stuff. I think God's going to say, Judgment Day, let's get this guy up here that used to be able to not able to talk, but he can talk now. Come on up here. Tell me, son, how many people did you win to the Lord? Oh, hundreds. Then he's going to call you up. But you could talk and listen. How many did you win to the Lord? None. But I watched a lot of football. Oh, boy, the angels are going to be excited about that. Brother, I see this more and more. I've been doing this ministry since 1989, using the simple facts of creation and dinosaurs to teach the gospel. Somebody up here ought to do something about it. You see, God didn't call me to the ministry. God called every one of his children to the ministry. Every one of you is called to do something. Now see, when you're a baby, mama doesn't expect much out of you. But as you get older, don't they expect you to pick up your toys and clean up your room? I mean, you got a few jobs to do. Some of you have been a Christian for a long time and you're still in the baby stage expecting somebody else to do it all for you, aren't you? Call me when supper's ready. How about go plow the field and plant the potatoes and then you bring the potatoes and we'll cook them and have supper from your work. There's a war going on. So this Big Bang Theory is retarded. Space.com says the universe now has 10 times more galaxies than they thought. Wow. It's bigger than they thought. I could have told them that. See, God can make things that are infinite. Time, space, matter. So this Big Bang Theory is one of the dumbest things, but kids are being taught this in this town and nobody's doing anything about it that I know of. Find something to do. What happened before the Big Bang? There was no Big Bang. The whole question is invalid. It's like asking, why are elephants orange? They're not orange. I can't answer the question why they're not, because they're not. So when somebody says, where did God come from? That question has five words, and four of them don't apply to God. Where involves distance, space, time. Does God have to come from over there to here? What if God's already in every place? Well, then the word where doesn't apply to him. He's already there. God did implies past, time, past, present, future. What if God's not locked in time? Amen. What if we're the ones that are stuck in time? We are stuck in time, you know. How many of you have ever had a time where you wished you could go back just 5 seconds to undo the dumb thing you just did? Yeah, okay. Just 5 seconds, Lord. Nope, you're stuck in time. See, God's not stuck in time. God's already standing at your funeral right now. He's not stuck in time. We are. He's not stuck in matter. Time, where doesn't apply. Did doesn't apply. God, now that applies. Come, again, involves distance. From involves distance. See, the whole question's invalid. Where did God come from? The question's no good. It's like, why are elephants orange? They're not orange. But the kids are being taught. Earth formed 4.6 billion years ago. Oh, really? So the textbook says the earth is billions of years old. As a new Christian, I quickly realized somebody's lying. I'm reading my Bible, I'm adding up the numbers, and I'm getting the same thing everybody got all through history. All through history, people add up those numbers and say, wow, the Bible was, God says the earth was created about 4,000 BC. Yet the textbooks are saying it's billions of years old. Somebody's lying. I'm not only going to find out who's lying, because I'm not going to give my life for a book that's not true. And once I find out who's lying, I'm going to try to teach everybody by whatever means I can. There's all kinds of ways to teach it. You don't have to be preaching behind a pulpit. You can be passing out literature at your school, in your neighborhood. You can start a dinosaur adventure land, have a dinosaur birthday party. I don't know, do something. Find something to do. If you're sitting in your car and you turn the steering wheel all the way to the left, what happens? Nothing if you're not rolling. Some of you are waiting for God to call you. Which way do I go, God? Get rolling, and then I'll show you which way to go. Do something. All right, sorry for going so long. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Help us to get busy and do something for your kingdom now, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.